I tell you, it's been a old dreary day today. It makes it even more dreary when over half of your church is gone. Amen. I tell you what, it's been sparse today. We apologize for the little oompa with the sound system this morning. We've got new mics and stuff and trying to determine and haven't quite figured out how long the batteries last. And I know people got the CDs this morning specifically to send to people, and they're going to be useless because they're dead. People were watching video and said the same thing, lost the sound because of the mics. But, you know, God had a purpose for that message here this morning.
Amen.
And it was working on hearts this morning, and it was working on one heart in particular. And God knows why things happen that way. Amen. But I just had several people had said something to me about it. But, you know, we'll get it all figured out and, you know, working right. But just pray that God would help us in our learning curve to figure these things out. Amen. You know, everything takes time. Amen. When you get something new, it don't always work the way that you think it's going to. Amen. And that's just, that's all it is today. It's just a case the batteries went dead, and the other one we could turn, I could turn it on in Sunday school and leave it on, and it would be good all the way through the service, all the way through the system. And it died halfway through the preaching this morning, and I've had a few, several people had mentioned it, but just pray that God would continue using our ministry here to reach out. And I'm amazed at how many people respond to our online services, and I think it's been good. And we get response. Sometimes people that get our CDs and are mailed our CDs, they'll listen to them and then they'll send them on to other people. And sometimes we get messages from people we've never heard of and never knew that our CDs were going to. Amen. How something touched them. So it's a valuable ministry, and it reaches out. Y'all need to pray for that ministry. Amen. And then the CDs, you know, a lot of churches charge for the CDs, and I call it, but my personal belief is if you got to sell the gospel, we need to quit it. Amen. And if we can't give it away, if we're not going to give it away, I'm going to quit here. Amen. I'll just put it that way. The gospel's not for sale. Amen. And we don't know the lives that are touched and impacted. My sister, they stole her CD player. And my older sister, the one we had the funeral for yesterday, and we was down there, the girl that's cleaning out her place, and she had told me they stole her CD player. I said, I'll get you one. She told me, no, there's no need. I'll just steal it. Amen. I mean, she was held hostage for so long by a bunch of druggies, and finally we was able to get all that mess cleaned out. But she had a lot of CDs that she had never listened to. And the girl that's cleaning them out asked my brother, said, well, do y'all want these back or what? He said, nah. He said, just, you know, get rid of them, maybe take them to the nursing. She says, I might just listen to them. Amen. So, you know, you just never know, you know, who it's going to touch and where it's going to reach. So just pray that God would be in the midst of our multimedia ministry and use it to his glory and honor. And souls might be saved, souls might be touched, souls might be encouraged because of the efforts and the work that's put into doing that. Amen. And, you know, y'all don't see it, maybe you don't understand it, but, you know, and everybody else is going. You know, a lot of times Ernie and Dolly staying here, or Joe or whoever's back there in the sound booth, they're staying making copies to get everything copied and get it ready for all the ones that need to go out. And when everybody else is leaving, they're here. They're generally many times the last ones out the door. That's a ministry that we need to pray for, just like we do every ministry that this church has. Amen. So pray for it and just pray that God uses it to his glory. If you found Psalm 34, I'll read the first four verses here. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Brother Jim, would you take us tonight to the throne of grace? Amen. And you know, I just want you all to pray for Timmy. I've seen the note here this morning. Timmy wanted us to sing Amazing Grace, but I wanted Timmy to sing Amazing Grace. Amen. You can't hardly understand what he's singing. You can't hardly comprehend what he's singing. But I believe when he sings it, he's singing it from the heart. You know, you look at that boy, his situation is not his fault. You know, he was born, I don't know if anybody would say it, but he was born to, you know, situation where drug use was prevalent and going on. And, you know, you can't help but wonder if it didn't have an effect on what he's dealing with. It's not his fault that he's the way that he is. He can't help it. And his life and his heart, honey, the truth will stand when the world's on fire. She's cringing. Don't say it. But it's the truth. Amen. And I mean, we got to understand that some people can't help the situation they're in. They was born into it. And Timmy needs a lot of prayer. He's got a lot of issues, a lot of things that are going on, and they're not getting any better. They're only getting worse, and it's only going to continually get worse. And he's going to have a harder time. He's going to need loads of prayer. He's going to need people that have compassion, that will reach out to him and show him compassion, not because of his circumstances, but because that he's just a child that has no control over what's happened. He's 28 years old, but he can't control what brought him to the place where he was. But he's trusting in the one that's going to get him through it. Amen. When I hear Timmy sing Amazing Grace, it's like, I don't know if y'all remember the young man that used to come with the Duvals, and he had a disease that the stem of his brain was deteriorating, and he was walking crippled, and you know, he was walking, he could hardly walk and had trouble talking. It was affecting him completely. How many of y'all remember him? How many of y'all remember the Duvals when they came? Okay. The other Duvals, the one from Georgia. So, and he came and he asked them, they were here singing for us one Sunday morning. He asked them, could he sing? And he wanted to sing. And he sung that song, I Can Only Imagine. Amen. And I don't think there was a dry eye in the place, because he knew that they've done told him that he would eventually go paralyzed, and then it would eventually kill him because his brain stem was deteriorating and there was nothing they could do about it. And eventually it would cut off all stimulation to his organs, his heart, and everything else. And, you know, he was trusting God. Amen. Amen. And when I hear Timmy sing Amazing Grace, and I think about that young man as he sung, I Can Only Imagine. It just makes you want to shout at what God can do in lives when things seem hopeless, the situations seem hopeless, and people's lives seem hopeless, and that they're trusting in God. Amen. We're feeling sorry for them, and they're rejoicing in what God is doing and what God is allowing them to do. Amen. And they're just praising God and praising him for what he's done and what he's going to do. We might not understand all the words, and we might not understand all the praise, but praise God, they're willing to let go and let God have his way. Amen. They're willing to let go and let God minister in their hearts and in their lives, and I just do what is needed. And the psalmist here in Psalm 34, he says in these first four verses, I will praise the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be continually in my mouth. And you know, I want to preach tonight, and I touched a lot on it this morning, about our praise to God and our inability to praise God, our inhibitions. I don't know what we're inhibited about, why we don't just let go and let God have his way, why we don't just let go and give God the glory and the honor and the praise that's due his name. Why is it that we find it so hard to worship him in a free spirit, to worship him without inhibitions in our lives, because we're worried about what somebody around us is going to think. David, I said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be shall continually be in my mouth. There's a need for continual praise if we're going to learn to praise. It has to be a habit. It has to be our nature. Amen. It has to be who we are. And God's people ought to be a people that praise His name. Amen. God's people ought to be a people who aren't ashamed to lift their voices up. Hebrews 13:15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know, it's a sacrifice for us to give the praise unto Him, to give Him the praise that's due His name, to give Him the praise that He's deserving of. And we shouldn't be ashamed or inhibited in doing that in any way. It's easy in the easy times, when everything comes easy and everything's going easy and life is easy, to give God praise. Amen. Don't we run around when things are going on? Oh man, God's so good to me. God has been good to me. People say, how you doing? Brother, I tell folks, people ask me how I'm doing. I said, if I was doing any better, it has to be two of me. Amen. You know, that's just the way I am. And even when I don't feel like, I'm doing that good, I tell people I'm doing that good. Why? Because my God's worthy of the praise. Amen. If I was any more blessed, amen, I don't know what I'd do. And it needs to be something. It needs to be an attitude about us that's continual when we just praise God for the little things. We don't always have to be running up and down and shouting, but praise God, we can have a happy countenance. And it's easy when things are going good. It's easy when everything is running smooth in our life. But when the difficulties come, when the hard times come, can we still praise God when we're down in the valley? And we complain about the valley, but you know, we live in the valley. Amen. Amen. Well, I was talking to Sister Eileen here just a little bit ago, and I was talking, you know, people don't realize that those folks that live up on the mountain, sometimes that they live in isolation. Amen. That they live where other people can't get to. We went on vacation back in the summer, and we rented a place up on the top of the mountain, and man, was the view. I'd like to buy the place right next to it. I haven't convinced my wife to do it yet. Amen. It's absolutely gorgeous there. I could just stay there. Amen. But you know, we can't live on the mountain. Amen. And the people that live on the mountain, most of the time, live in isolation. Do you know that? Because most people don't live on the mountain. You know what? Up on that mountain, it gets real cold real fast. Amen. This week, we seen in Snowshoe where they had snow on Snowshoe. Amen. Which was the next hilltop over, next mountaintop over from where we was. Amen. It was cold down there. It gets frigid down there. It gets inhospitable down there. Being up on the mountain isn't always where it's about. It's good. Man, if you'd have seen the view that we seen when we was down there, praise God, you could not. I don't see how you could have looked down that view and just doubted that there's a God that created it all and made this beauty. It couldn't have just happened by accident. There's not a whole lot of houses up on that mountain. As a matter of fact, I had a four-wheel drive. My son Dennis had a four-wheel drive. We had to get up on the mountain so Billy and Aaron could get a running start. Billy and Becky had their van, and Aaron had his car, and they had to get a running start to get up the mountain to the place where our cabin was. And there was other houses up there. You know what that tells me? It can get real lonely up there on that mountain sometime. Amen. Hey, man, we live in the valley. And we function most of the time in the valley. It's good to go to the mountaintop. It's good to visit, and it's good to be there. But if you got to live there, sometimes you find out it isn't all cracked up what you think it is. Amen. Sometimes we look at other people and we say, if I only had what they had. And don't realize you're just as rich as can be with what you got. Amen. If I could only have the car, if I could only have the house, if I could only have the things that they have, and you don't realize something, sometimes when you have things, all you are is a slave to your things. Ask people to have a boat. Every time it rains, you got to worry about it. Every time a storm's coming, you got to worry about it. The winter's coming, you got to worry about it. The summer's coming, you got to get it ready. You hope it's going to start. You hope it's going to run. Am I lying? You know, boat's a hole in the water that you put money into, right? Kids were after me for a while, get a horse. A horse is just as bad as a boat. The only difference between a horse and a boat, A boat's a hole in the water that you dump money into. Amen. A horse is a hole in the field that you dump money into. Amen. People got these horses and they pay hundreds of dollars in vet bills. The vet's got to come. The farrier's got to come every so many weeks and change their shoes or trim their hooves and do all this stuff. And you feed them oats and you feed them hay and you feed them this and you feed them that. And then you got to clean up after them. Amen. And they're nothing but work. And you're a slave to that thing. Amen. You know, you look at people's things and you want to have what they have, but you don't understand. Sometimes you can become a slave to the things that you have, and what you think is going to bring you joy, I can just bring you aggravation and frustration and just a discouragement along the way. Let me tell you something. When we learn to praise God, no matter where we're at, no matter what we have and what we don't have, when we can praise God in the difficult times, and it takes effort to praise God because things aren't just going the way that we thought they should go, and things aren't just the way everybody thinks a Christian's life should be. That's an act of faith, amen, because we're willing to praise God regardless of the circumstances. Paul said, I've learned to be content no matter what circumstance I find myself in. Praise God. We need to just to keep a continual praise in our lips, amen. We got to quit getting all down in the mouth. Nobody wants to be around down in the mouth. How many people want to be around Eeyores? Nobody wants to be around Eeyores. You want to be around the people that make you laugh, the people that encourage you, the people that lift you up. Why do you think a lot of people don't want anything to do with church today? Church have become a place, they become little clubhouses. They become little bits of places where people just go to spend some time, and everybody's just complaining about everything that's going on. I tell you what, the psalmist, he had faced many difficult times and many difficult situations, many difficult circumstances. He had been hunted down like a dog. He had been betrayed by his friends. At one point, his own men were ready to stone him. Amen. They wanted to stone him, and they were discouraged because of the things that had happened. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, and David sought the Lord, and David, praise God, you read to David's history, and yeah, there were times when he sinned and he done wrong. There were times when other people done him wrong, but praise God, he never lost his praise. He never lost his joy in the Lord, amen. The only thing that made him lose his joy in the Lord was the sin in his life. Amen. And he said, thy praise will continually be on my lips. How many of you can say, I continually praise the Lord? Amen. Amen. We need to be that people. Amen. You need to be that light and that salt in this world. Mm-hmm. That when the bad news comes, you can still praise God. When the doctor looks at you and says, I'm going to shock the doctor. The day that I ever have to hear those words, there's no help. If I ever have to hear them, there's nothing else we can do. You've got so much time. If that happens, the way she's praying is not likely to happen. You know, we're going to die in a tragic accident somewhere. Amen. So if you hear we died in a tragic accident, you can say, Miss Deb got her way. Amen. But if they have to tell me that, I'm going to pull a Clemens Chappelle. Well, glory. Amen. I'm going home. Amen. I'm going home. You know, we get discouraged about the wrong thing. Amen. We need to quit letting Satan steal our joy. We need to quit letting circumstances steal our joy. We need to quit letting people steal our joy. And we need to have joy and praise and thanksgiving in our hearts and on our lips continually. Amen. Amen. First, we see that there is a continual praise that God's people should have. But then look at the next two verses. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. There's a contagious praise. Hey, man, you know, when you got praise in your heart, you know, now Amtrak has a way of beating you down sometimes, don't it, Brother Steve? They can take somebody that has the best attitude, somebody that has the best work ethic and everything else and beat you down. All I heard for about the first 6 months when I started with Amtrak is slow down, slow down, slow down. I come off an assembly line where you worked for a piece rate. Amen. I worked at Schult. We built mobile homes. And if you was going to make money, you run from the time that bell sounded up to the time it quit. You was on a full-scale run. We nailed, stapled flooring down. It sounded like machine guns because we'd run across that floor so fast, back up. It sounded like a machine gun firing. And I mean, sometimes you'd run plumb off the end of the deck that you was working on and stuff. And I mean, it was a running pace because that was the only way I could make a living for my family. And all I heard was slow down, slow down. Another thing I always heard was, you're always smiling. You're always happy. Why are you always so happy? Because I got a lot of things to be happy about. Amen. You got a lot of things to be happy about. Why shouldn't I smile? What's wrong with smiling? You know, what's wrong with being happy? I'm blessed. Amen. People see it. People that are around you, they understand happiness. They understand true joy. They understand true peace and contentment. Amen. The psalmist said, when the humble hear my praise, and when the humble see it and hear of it and witness it, and they get around me, he said, it'll make them glad too. Amen. You know, our praise can be continuous. If we come to work every day and every morning and walk into where we work instead of miserable and cantankerous and angry because we didn't have, you know, I want to tell you all something. Y'all that are addicted to coffee, you're just as bad as some of the other people because you walk around miserable until you get so many cups, and you can look at me like all you want to. It's the truth. You're as bad as a drunk. You're as bad. I know people that until they have had 15 cups of coffee in the morning, you can't even hardly deal with them and talk to them. They're miserable. They're nasty. My lands, I'd rather deal with a drunk with a hangover than somebody that hasn't had their fix of coffee sometimes in the morning. That's the truth. Y'all can say amen or ouch. You can get mad at the preacher if you want to. It's the truth. There's no difference. It's an addiction. You're addicted to the caffeine. You're addicted to something that you're dependent on for your joy and your peace and your happiness. There's nothing wrong with drinking coffee. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Amen. And if you got to get that high from wine, from the excess, and you can't function until you get enough coffee in you to make you functional, what's the difference? Amen. It's an excess. You're letting something control you. You walk into work, you walk in around people first thing in the morning, and you're so miserable and nasty, nobody even wants to talk with you. Brother Steve can tell you, we work with people, and some of the people, I mean, we work with some really vile people sometimes. Amen. And sometimes, first thing in the morning, they are just so plumb nasty. And you got to wait till about 10 o'clock when they've got enough coffee in them to calm them down and to still their nerves and to make them even approachable. And I tell you what, that just shouldn't ought to be. A Christian should be able to walk into the place of work first thing in the morning with a smile on their face and have a contagious joy about them, a contagious praise about them that would make others want to have what you have. You know, it's not our job to lead people to water and make them drink. It's our job to make them thirsty. We wonder why Christians can't win people to Christ anymore. I tell you why. We've taken away the joy. We've taken away the thirst for what we have because we've become so much like the world. We act like the world in everything we do. The psalmist said, man, I'm going to have praise continually in my mouth. My life is going to be a time of praise. Now, not every circumstance is going to be glad, but we don't have to get all miserable about it. We can still have an attitude of praise about us. We can deal with situations and look at circumstances and say, I thank God. Admiral Nimitz, after Pearl Harbor was bombed and destroyed by the Japanese, was being shown all the damage. They were taking him around the harbor in a boat and showing him all that had been done. And he looked at his officers that were with him on the boat and he said, "We've been blessed." And one of the seamen on the boat said, "Admiral, how can you say such a thing when all these ships have been sunk and all these lives have been lost?" He said, "Well," he said, "our dry dock hadn't even been touched. Most of our ships are sunk in shallow water." And he began to see all the positives of what the outcome was in this great disaster. You know, we can run around and we can look for the glass half empty all the time. And we can argue about whether the glass is half empty or half full. It doesn't matter. It's still only halfway. But if we take the opportunity that's presented to us, we can pick the glass up and we can still drink out of it anyway. Amen. Amen. And praise God that we have something to drink. Praise God that we're not going thirsty. Amen. Whether it's a full glass or a half empty glass, it doesn't matter. We have something to drink. And God's people will always have something to praise him about. Read of Warm Blood in prison and how he's beaten and he's just tortured unmercilessly for 14 years. And his attitude, the things that he thought about, the things that he focused on were the goodness of God. And he always had something to praise God about. How can that be? Because it was his daily life. Even when they were beating him and torturing him, he didn't respond with venom. He responded with a Christian attitude of thankfulness. A Christian attitude of being able to witness. Our lives should be such. You know, over the course of time, many of the guards that had tortured him were converted just because his life had become contagious. And if the lost can be won by a contagious life, imagine what can happen in the church. Amen. If we'll start praising God, we'll start worshiping him the way that we should. You know, the Bible tells us none of us lives or dies unto himself. You know, our lives are read by everybody that sees us every day. And if you're walking around miserable all the time, if you are unapproachable all the time, I hate those people who are wishy-washy. One minute you can talk to them, and the next minute you can't talk to them. You can't talk to them this time of day, but you can talk to them that time of day. I've had bosses like that, and I just looked at them straight up. And I said, "Look, and I don't come here to be an analyst or anything else. If I got to deal with you, I'm dealing with you, and I'm expecting you to be the same way you're expecting me. You're expecting me to be the same every time you come and talk to me. I expect you to be the same. I expect you to talk to me the same way, to react to me the same way, and to treat me the same way in the morning as you do in the afternoon, or in the good times as you do in the bad. I want that respect that you're expecting." And praise God, you know what? Most of the time, I say, "I understand. I understand." But people that you don't know, man, they're volatile. Hey, man, you don't want to be around them. Christians that are volatile, you don't want to be around them. Christians that are volatile have a very poor testimony. Because you don't live to yourself and you don't live for yourself. The Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." Amen. Amen. Our goal was to emulate Christ. Amen. Our goal was to lift up Christ. That's our responsibility. So we got to realize that our praise should be something that should be contagious, should be infectious, and should touch other people's life. In verse number 3, he says, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Not only should our praise be contagious in the way that we live our life, our lives should be contagious in the way that we welcome others to join us in praise. Psalm 22 and 3 tells us that God inhabits the praise of his people. Amen. Can you imagine what would happen and what happens in the service when God's people will praise him, when God's people will get together and with one mind and one accord? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Amen. What are you gathered together in his name for? To worship and praise him. Amen. Man, when we can get that through our mind, we're not sitting here waiting for some great stirring before we can praise him. Man, we need to come together with the attitude when we already get here that I already had praise, because I got praise continually on my lips, continually from my mouth. And when I get to the house of God, I'm just coming so I can get together with my brothers and sisters in Christ and praise him even more and magnify his name. He didn't say, come and let us sit around together all pooch mouth say bless me if you can. He said magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Amen. I tell you, it's time for God's people to get their praise on. We talked about that this morning. Man, when that woman got that touch and when she got loosed and she was able to stand up straight, she began to glorify God. We can't even get a holy grunt out of most Christians. Amen. Most people. We sit here and then we wonder, why. I don't know why people don't like coming to our church. I don't know why people don't like worshiping with us. Man, we got to be contagious, infectious. Amen. Let's get our praise on. Amen. Let's get our praise on. We see the continual praise, the contagious praise. And now in verse number 4, we see the cause of praise. Well, you just don't know what I've been going through. Don't matter. Continual praise doesn't reside in our circumstances. Amen. It resides in what Christ has done for us. It doesn't reside in what we have right now. It resides in what we know we're going to get, what he's promised us. He never promised us a bed of roses. He never promised us a casework. And matter of fact, he said, in this life you shall have tribulation. Amen. We're going to have these problems. We're going to have these circumstances to deal with. He said, but be of good cheer. In other words, you can praise anyway because I've overcome the world. Amen. It doesn't matter. Look at what he says here in verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. What do we got to praise God for? Number one, he said, I sought the Lord. We have a rock, a strong tower, a buckler, a place of safety, a fortress, a helper, a friend, a God that is accessible. And he is whatever we need for him to be when we seek him out. Amen. If we need a comforter, he's a comforter. If we need a warrior, he's a warrior. If we need a protector, he's a protector. No matter what it is that we need, we can seek him out, and we know that he hears our prayers. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Amen. Isn't it good to know we can call in faith believing and know that he hears our prayers, our pleas, our petitions, whatever it is. Amen. He's all ears. I've never said a prayer that he can't hear. I've never said a prayer that he can't answer. I've never said a prayer that he won't answer. Sometimes the answer is just no. Amen. Sometimes the answer is just no. But I'm okay with that. I'd rather go on his no than on my go. Amen. I'd rather trust him in all things But he says, I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me. Amen. How do I know he's going to deliver me? How do I know he's going to do it again? Because he's done it before. Sometimes he didn't deliver in my time and on my schedule the way that I wanted. Sometimes I didn't get everything like I thought it would happen. But praise God, he has always worked things out. How could I deny? How could I not praise the one who has done all things for me and made it good? In Psalm 50, verse 14 and 15, the psalmist says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And then God says in verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Amen. I will deliver thee. He didn't say, I might deliver thee. He didn't say, I'll think about delivering thee. He said, I will deliver thee. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, I've been praying for something, and God hasn't delivered me. Does that mean he's any less God because he hasn't done it in your time, in your way, according to your plan? He'll say, well, I'm mad at God. My loved one was sick and they died. And God could have healed them. So you'd rather for them to be here in this old land of sin and sorrow than in the land of deliverance, in the peace of joy and gladness. Amen. Sometimes we get so selfish that we miss the blessing. My sister died. It was when I heard that she died, and she died the way that she did, I rejoiced. She had COPD. And I envisioned her last days, her last hours on earth, being one of laying in a hospital, a gasping, trying to breathe and unable to. Have you ever seen anybody? I've been around someone had COPD in their last hours. Brother Joe Allen. I remember seeing him just try to gulp air and just couldn't breathe, couldn't get air, no matter what he could try to inhale, he couldn't get enough. And it's just hard. Others I've seen and just watched them struggle and fight for the last breath. And I envisioned that's what it was going to be, and it was going to be a horrible time. It's not a pretty picture. But there was an old drunk who trusted Jesus as her Savior. In her old age. And in her last years, whenever I would visit her, she just said, I ain't worried about the Lord watches over me. The Lord takes care of me. And when crossing time had come, he delivered her from that horrible death. Nephew went back and checked on her, and a little while later hadn't heard her stirring, and went back and she'd slipped out into eternity, sitting there in her chair. Praise his name. Amen. Amen. Thank God. He delivered. You see, I can thank God for that deliverance. I can thank God that she's going on to a better place and a better life, a better world. We get upset because God doesn't do what we want to do. We praise God because he has delivered us from our circumstances. But sometimes we don't want to praise God for his deliverance in our circumstances. Sometimes we're in a place where we can't change. Imagine the individual that gets saved in prison. Amen. He can't change his circumstances. He can't change where he's at the moment. Amen. But he can experience the deliverance of God. He can praise God among the other prisoners. Sometimes we only want to praise God when everything is sweet. But man, we need to have that continual praise in our lips because of what He's done. He's delivered us from the curse of sin. He's delivered us from the condemnation of an eternity in a place called hell. And the least that we can do is praise Him. The least that we can do is give Him the honor due His name. The fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. We all have something to praise the Lord for, so let's do it. Let's model it, and let's testify of it, that the world might know that God is worthy of our praise. As we stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes.